Appreciate the prayer and ask a continued interest in your prayers, as we always ask for that, but we always need it. I think Brother Sam must have been peeking in my Bible tonight. When he called out that song, when you hear my text, you'll know what I'm talking about. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that wonderful? Last night, as we were leading the lesson in our meeting, a number of times as I was going through my subject last night, this verse kept coming to mind. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's just so much in that. Some of you have been around a lot longer than I have. Some of you have seen a lot more of your loved ones past the scene of this life than I have. But isn't it comforting that God doesn't change? And isn't it comforting that Jesus doesn't change? And really, that's part of the proof that He's God. He doesn't change. I remember before I had children, thinking, I think it was before I was married also, but thinking at times, I don't know if I want to bring a child into this old world the way it is. But then to know that the same God who has always been there for me is there for them and will be there for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and on and on and on. He's always been there for His people. He always will be there for His people. He has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We've got help. We've got abundant help. We've got powerful help. Now this idea, this principle of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Jesus said on one occasion to the Jews, "Search the Scriptures." Remember that? John 5:39. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." In other words, Jesus said, "Look, you search the Scriptures." And you know, under the law, the Jews thought if they could keep the law and keep it well enough, then they would have eternal life. But that Jesus is telling them, "Listen, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." In other words, eternal life is only in Christ. If we are in Him, oh, then bless your hearts. It makes all the difference. All the difference in the world. Jesus Christ the same. Well, now wait a minute. You go to Genesis, and from what we understand from the Scriptures, Jesus, as the Word of God, was there as the Word of God, didn't have the body that He had when He was born of the Virgin Mary, when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But it was the Son of God. It was the Word of God. So Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then you keep going in Genesis a little bit, and you not only see the Creator, because the New Testament tells us, John In the beginning of the Gospel of John, we find that he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So when you go read in the early part of Genesis, and it says, and God said, that's the Word of God, the Son of God. He's there. When the scripture says, let us make man in our own image, he's there. There's the Trinity. Jesus Christ the same. Yet he's there as the Word of God, not as the man, Jesus. Stay with me now. Later in Genesis 22, when God calls upon Abraham to take Isaac, his son, his only son, and offer him as a burnt offering unto me. And Isaac is old enough to do some reckoning. He saw the fire, he saw the wood, he saw a knife. But he said, where's the lamb? And you remember what Abraham told him. My God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. We have a picture there. God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham proceeded to bind Isaac and lay the wood in order and place Isaac upon it. When he drew the knife, God stopped him. But he saw a ram caught in a thicket. That ram's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, our substitute. Yet the scripture's true. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we're seeing him in various aspects. We're getting glimpses of him. A little here, a little there. But he's the same one. He's the one that the Father purposed to come into this world and save us from our sins. Even though from our perspective, we see him in this way, and we see him then in that way, and we see him then in the other. The Father sees it all at one time. Declaring the end from the beginning. Isn't that what Isaiah said? Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So when we see Jesus in the scriptures, and it's a blessing if we do, if we're blessed to look at the Old Testament scriptures and see pictures of Jesus, and we know that represents him. You know, those types and shadows. They're just types and shadows. We have the substance now, but those types and shadows pointed ahead toward Jesus. The very one who would fulfill all those things. Then you get into Leviticus, and you see all those sacrifices. And they all pointed us to Christ, don't they? Then you get into Exodus. The Passover lamb. That's a picture of Christ, isn't it? Paul would later say, Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. So every time you see the Passover lamb, there's a picture of what Christ would come and do. But the scripture remains Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You get into Exodus, the cloud. God told Moses that the angel of his presence would go with them. He's going with them. You get into Joshua and you see, remember in Joshua chapter 5 when Joshua went out one evening and he saw a man with a sword drawn. He said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Let me read that because I may not quote it just right. Joshua chapter 5, Let me just read the passage. Verse 13, Joshua 5, 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord. Who is that? I contend that it's Jesus. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. We don't worship angels. But he worshiped, and he wasn't rebuked. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Where else have we heard that language?
Moses at the burning bush.
Yeah. When God appeared to him in the flame of fire. Here's one of those pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. You get over to Revelation 22 and 9. There's an angel talking with John. And John bowed and fell down to worship him. Do you remember what that angel said? See, thou doest it not. I'm thy fellow servant. Worship God. Back in Joshua, Joshua wasn't told that. That was Christ back there with them. The pre-incarnate. All right? That's kind of hard to understand, isn't it? But the scriptures show us, didn't Jesus say, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They point to him. They speak of him as the Word. He was the Word, the creative Word. All those things that show us that Christ was not an afterthought. He was not a plan B. It's what God purposed from the foundation of the world. And nothing has ever changed about what God has purposed. So we, as mortals, look into the Word of God and we see. Now, we're born of the Spirit and spiritual beings, but we can... We can look into the Word of God and we see Jesus in this aspect and in this form and appearing in this way and pointed to in this way. And there's a lot of variation there. But he's never changed. The purpose of God has always been the same. The way he's been revealed to us has evolved. I hate to use that word, the way men have used it, but it has grown to the point where we're able in the New Testament, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we can behold his glory. But he's never changed. Our view of him has changed, but he hasn't changed. God's purpose hasn't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. You know, you could go through, I haven't taken the time, I suspect others have, I probably could Google it and find a list somewhere, but you can find Christ in every book, pointed to, represented, because he's there, all the way with God's people. You know, even the book of Esther. Don't you love the book of Esther? Oh, that's a wonderful little book. And God's name's not even mentioned in the whole book. Well, how can it be wonderful if God's name's not there? Because he's there. He's there in his providence, taking care of his people. He's believed on. He's trusted in. And he's the deliverer who's faithful to deliver them and protect his people from being annihilated from the face of the earth. Satan is still trying to, was trying to destroy them. He's still trying to destroy us tonight. But God wouldn't let him. You know, in that book, the little book of Esther, there were times when the Jews could have been wiped out if man's plans had been allowed. God didn't let it happen. How wonderful. How wonderful. But we see him in the Old Testament as the bread of life. We see him as the water that came forth from the rock. They drank of that spiritual rock, which was Christ, Paul said in Corinthians. Oh, there's just so many ways that he's presented to us, and yet the truth is he hasn't changed. The way we see him varies, but he hasn't changed. I rejoice in that. No matter how long this world stands, the truth of his word is that we are preserved in Christ. Isn't that what Jude says? We're preserved in him. Oh, and that's as good as this world has a purpose till God's finished with it. In Deuteronomy, quite often we have the idea of inheritance. The land of Canaan was for the children of Israel to inherit. But bless your hearts, if we are in Christ, we have a glorious inheritance, don't we? Not just an not just a place to go, but we ourselves, being in Christ, are part of that. You know, Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I love to point out the fact that it's not revealed just to us, but in us. We're going to have to change, aren't we? This mortal must put on immortality. And this corruptible must put on incorruption. Oh, it's going to be glorious, isn't it? We're not going to have these old frailties and the limitations and the weakness of these flesh bodies that we have now. Will it look the same? I don't know. I just have to say, I don't know. We'll know each other as we're known. And we'll be satisfied. Well, that pretty well covers it, as far as I'm concerned. We'll always have those kind of questions. What will it be like? Well, we're going to find out by the grace of God. And that's the only way. Through the shed blood of the one who loved us and gave himself for us that we might live with him forever. How glorious that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday. Oh, we've been through some of those things. But how about today? You know, it's been 2,000 years since he ascended back into heaven. How can we know that he's still the same? Because the word says so. The word of God says so. All right? When he ascended back into heaven, he was seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat there. You know, when you set the table, okay, you put things in its place. Everything's ordered. Everything's in its place. Well, that's his place. It's what God purposed for him, to come into this world, to suffer and die, to redeem us from our sins, but then to be received back into glory. Isaiah 53 had already said, he shall see, God's looking down upon his son, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God had already purposed he was going to be satisfied with the work of his son. And so we find that even though Jesus was born into this world as a babe, that's different from what he was as a man, okay? But all those manifestations vary to us. But what, you know, like we've said about our soul and spirit, what makes us us, he didn't change. His body grew, his body matured, but he didn't change. He was the same. He was born a Savior. He lived a Savior. He died a Savior. He arose a Savior. And he's coming back as our Savior. And we will forever worship him and praise and adore his matchless name for saving us, has redeemed us by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, and tribe. Okay? Our Savior. So he's the same today. And he's coming back. Isn't that what the angels told those apostles in Acts 1, I believe it's verse 11, where Jesus ascended out of their sight, and the angels said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven?" Well, I know I can answer that. They were doing just what I hope I could say what I would have been doing if I'd have been standing there. I'd have been trying to get another glimpse. You know, maybe the clouds would part. Maybe I could see just another glimpse. Because, you know, when he left their presence, their bodily presence, that had to be traumatic. You know, as I closed the message Sunday, I asked the question, you know, I want you to think about how they must have felt when he was in the tomb and he wasn't coming out. Day after day, he was there and he wasn't coming out. The women had prepared spices, and 3 days later they came to anoint a dead body. No doubt there was confusion. There is no indication whatsoever from God's people that there was any joy during those 3 days and three nights. No indication of any preaching. I suspect there was a lot of praying. I suspect that there was a lot of confusion. I suspect there was a lot of heartache and doubt. And especially Peter, he denied the Lord 3 times. He went out and wept bitterly. Perhaps he thought it was all over. He went back to his old profession. Even though the Lord told him, "Tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." What did Peter do eventually? I go fishing. But there's another thing that they must have felt. Sister Jenny, after the service Sunday, she brought it up to me, and she said, "I know something else that you didn't mention that they felt, and that was fear." And I'm sure there was a lot of that. Those Roman authorities had crucified Jesus. Perhaps they were coming after them next. And while they were with Jesus, nothing could touch them. They had seen him heal the lepers. They had seen him restore sight to the blind. They had seen him make a body that had been lame and halt restored to wholeness and soundness. They'd seen him raise the dead. They'd seen him heal sicknesses. Just fever would just leave them because of what Jesus did. But now, he's gone. He's not there. Now, he told them, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Receive you unto myself." But then he also said, "I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But what an amazing thing it must have been for those men to be in the presence of Jesus, knowing that he loved them. And he was going to take care of them and provide for them. And even when they didn't even have food and he fed a multitude, he provided that they gathered up 12 baskets of fragments. And they had some. No doubt there was a lot of fear. But our Lord, as he sits at the right hand of the Father today, as he makes intercession for us, he's the same one. Because the angels, I left Acts 1:11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven?" This same Jesus. Oh, that just does my heart good. This same Jesus that you've seen go away will come again in like manner. Oh, aren't you glad it's going to be the same Jesus? Aren't you glad it's going to be Him? He said He would. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, that same Jesus. He's the same today. And He'll be the same forever. Wow. You know, another, what we view as a change, when after He was raised from the dead and He appeared to His apostles, Thomas said, I'll not believe unless I put my finger in the print of the nails, thrust my hand in His side. I used to think that when He arose from the dead, He was completely whole in every way, but when He appeared to those disciples, He told Thomas, put your finger here. Thrust your hand in your side. Be not faithless, but believing. Perhaps when Revelation says He stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, perhaps we'll see those prints in the hands. Perhaps we'll see that place. Perhaps we'll know about it anyway. I can't say that for certain, but it looked like to me from the scriptures it's going to still be there. We're certainly going to know that we've been redeemed. We're going to know that He's the Lamb. We're going to know. Oh, bless your hearts. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 7, verses 24 and 25. Basically, it says that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's there to intercede. When we pray unto the Father, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that arose from the dead. He's the one that's seated at the right hand of the Father. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father now, making intercession for us. Every blessing we ever receive from God is for Jesus' sake, for His sake. Isn't that wonderful? Now, it's wonderful that we know it. It's wonderful that He's blessed us to understand that all that Jesus has done has secured us eternally. Neither by the blood of bulls and calves, but by His bulls and goats, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, that's one of my favorite of many texts in Hebrews that I love. It's one of my go-to proof texts for our eternal security, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Remember what Brother Jeff Winfrey said down at the Gulf Coast meeting about that eternal redemption? You know, eternal is long enough. And redemption's good enough. That says it. It's long enough and it's good enough. We're preserved in Christ Jesus. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He doesn't change. He can't change. That's one of the things that God can't do. And Jesus is God, isn't He? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay? They're one in essence, one in purpose. They have different office works. That's one of those things where sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our head around that the three can be one, but He certainly has three office works. The Father purposed to save. He purposed to send His Son, a part of Himself. You know, God, my Son, God shall provide Himself, not for Himself. He shall provide Himself. It's God with us. Emmanuel. Provide Himself a lamb for an offering. He came. He did the Father's will. The Father sent him. All through his ministry, he said, I came not to do my own will. You know, he said, I do always those things which please him. And so everything he said, everything he did, everything was what the Father gave him to do. And he knew his end as far as his ministry was concerned. He knew the purpose for which he came. And he knew in the Garden of Gethsemane what he was about to have to endure. But he did it. He did it. And Hebrews tells us, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there. He ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he cannot change. He can't change because it was God's eternal purpose that he came to do. The power of his blood's never, his blood will never lose its power. You know, we don't have that song in our book, do we? Power in the blood. There's probably some Arminianism mixed in there somewhere, but I the sentiment of that song I've enjoyed for many years. Power in the blood of Jesus. I tell you, that's where our hope is, isn't it? That's what we long for. The power of Jesus' blood cleansing us continually, keeping us. Okay? Power of his blood will never be diminished in the virtue of his sacrifice, because he's obtained eternal redemption for us. So when Jesus told those Jews, search the scriptures. Now, they only had the Old Testament back then, didn't they? All right? Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Also, after Jesus' resurrection, when he was talking to those on the road to Emmaus, remember that? He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. Later in Luke 24, what is it, verse 44? Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise again the third day. He said, these are the words. I got too far into that. These are the words which I spake with you while I was yet with you, that all things must be accomplished which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Moses, the law, first five books of the Bible, the prophets, and in the Psalms. That pretty well covers the Old Testament, doesn't it? Concerning me. Oh, as we think about, he's the same yesterday, today. You know, the older I get, the more I rejoice in what the Lord has revealed to us concerning his purpose, concerning the finished work of Christ. The more you hear from others, and it's oftentimes it's from people that you know without any shadow of doubt, they love the Lord. They are God's people. Yet they feel like there's so much that's still weighing in the balance. There's so much that men has to respond to in order for all of this to be appropriated to them. Isn't it a blessing to be able to rejoice in the finished work of Christ? Isn't it a blessing that we can lie down at night and not worry about somebody's eternal salvation? Now, you need to worry all you want to about our timely salvation, because we need to save ourselves from this untoward generation. We need to do all we can to be a good influence and to help others. But as far as heaven's pure world, he's obtained our eternal redemption. Romans 8 tells us there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Remember those last couple of verses of Romans 8? Paul said, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. Are you? You persuaded? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's where the power is, in Christ. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in him. Oh, what a blessing that is. The same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't ever have to worry about the power of Christ diminishing one bit. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when you get into the book of Revelation, he speaks that he is the Alpha and the Omega. First and the last. And he's still the same. Still the same. So is Revelation 1 and 4. We'll close with this. Revelation 1 and 4. That he's him from him which is and which was and which is to come. Well, that lines up with the same yesterday. He was. Same today, he is. And forever, him which is to come. Revelation 1 and 4. Bless your hearts. We've got reason to rejoice in our Lord. In all that he has done for us, all that he has accomplished, all that is in place forever. And bless your hearts. He's blessed us to know it. He's blessed us to know him. He's blessed us to know his truth. He's blessed us to know that hope which is bound up in him. And he does not change. I can rejoice in that, can't you? And I do rejoice in that. You know, when so many things that happen in this world, so many tragedies that happen to other people, no matter what. And I just love to just dwell on that sometimes. No matter what happens to us, if we're blessed to understand the purpose of God, then we know we're secure in him. Now, there's plenty for us to enjoy in this life. But if those doors were to burst open right now and some foreign people with guns would just mow us all down, we'd just awake in his presence. You know, no matter what, no matter what, the same, just like that song Brother Sam picked out tonight, he's just the same today. I can rejoice in that. How about you? Okay. Any comments, questions? Okay.